Cessna dodges a strike in Wichita. Delta simulator techs vote to stay non-union. And 50 new 737s will be headed to Russia. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Tuesday, September 21st, 2010. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers held a strike vote in Wichita on Saturday, and the results are in. On the table was Cessna's so-called best and last offer, which included a virtual wage freeze and greater employee participation in healthcare costs. The union recommended its members strike to get more. In the week before the vote, Cessna announced yet another expansion of its factory in Chihuahua, Mexico. Well, Cessna won the staring contest this time. 58% of union members voted to reject the contract, but only 49 said they'd strike. That leaves the contract in force by default. Cessna CEO Jack Pelton told the Wichita Eagle he feels the contract is fair, given the condition of the economy. Union spokesman Steve Rooney observed, quote, "A paycheck is a hard thing to give up," unquote. The IAM has been rebuffed in its bid to represent simulator technicians at Delta Airlines. The election was held last week, and the National Mediation Board reports a majority of workers again voted down the union. There were 91 flight simulator technicians eligible to vote, and only 18 wanted IAM representation. There were 23 write-in votes. Delta Senior VP Steve Dixon issued a statement which reads in part, quote, "We are pleased our combined simulator technician workgroup has once again chosen a direct relationship with Delta leaders. This relationship is one of the most important aspects of our unique culture. The NMB procedures provide 7 business days until September 27th for a participant to contest an election. We will be communicating next steps as soon as this period expires," unquote. USA Today is reporting that Russian Technologies, which controls Moscow's investment in aircraft for 12 regional airlines, has a deal to buy 50 new Boeing next-generation 737s. The planes will reportedly be leased to Aeroflot. An official statement says the deal, quote, "will help take a step forward in making the Russian airline industry and Russian airlines more competitive on the global market," unquote. Boeing is among the defense contractors chasing the goal of what's called a persistent communications, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance platform. These are long-duration UAVs that fly at high altitudes. In Boeing's case, persistent may be an understatement. Under the terms of an $89 million DARPA contract signed last week, Boeing's Solar Eagle will make its first demo flight in 2014 and aims to fly at 60,000 feet with an endurance of 5 years. Pat O'Neill, Boeing Phantom Works program manager for Vulture 2, observes, quote, "That's a daunting task, but Boeing has a highly reliable solar electric design that will meet the challenge," unquote. During the test, Solar Eagle will stay up for 30 days at a time, running directly on solar power by day and at night on energy stored in onboard fuel cells charged by the excess solar capacity during the daytime. Coming up, the Help Wanted sign is out at ANN. NATA invites FBOs to better manage fuel sales. And wind plagues the Reno air races. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 21st. I'm Paul Plack. Hey, in case you missed it yesterday on the ANN website, the Help Wanted sign is up in the window. Aero News has HR needs in a few areas, including this one. If you've listened to these AeroCasts and said to yourself, hey, I could do that, why not find out once and for all? If you have backgrounds in both aviation and radio or other audio content, can write, record, and handle sometimes demanding deadlines, and would like to back me up and prepare to move into other full-time audio projects now in the works, get in touch with Jim Campbell right away by email. The address is publisher@aero-news.net. You can work from about anywhere if you have a broadband internet connection, and we use Adobe Audition on the audio side. Good luck! NATA, the National Air Transportation Association, is holding what it calls its FBO Success Seminar in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, October 5th through the 7th. Oil companies and third-party fuel brokers will be on hand for a lively roundtable discussion, and FBOs which sell fuel are invited. Among the topics will be minimizing insurance premiums, developing a favorable lease, FBO legal matters and pointers, establishing long-term profitable customer relationships, and marketing for any size FBO, increasing sales and market share without affecting fuel margins. The premise of the seminar is the principle that fuel margins are key in determining profitability. Visit www.nata.aero and click on NATA News to get details on next month's event. Our best get well wishes today go out to pilot George Gibboni, who walked away from a crash Sunday at the Reno Air Races. He declared an emergency while flying his Thunder Mustang replica Rapid Travel in the Supersport Gold Race. Reports say he landed hard and cartwheeled off the runway, but was able to acknowledge the crowd before being taken to the hospital for treatment of lacerations. Officials later canceled the finals of the T6 and Unlimited Gold classes due to wind gusts as high as 35 miles an hour. Get all the 2010 results at airrace.org. Still ahead, the Golden Knights bring home gold in the 8-way. NASA starts offloading low Earth orbit mission duties. And here's an auction like no other. You're listening to Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Sirius, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Sirius Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Tuesday, September 21st. I'm Paul Platt. ANN congratulates the U.S. Army Golden Knights 8-way competition team for bringing home the gold from the 2010 U.S. National Skydiving Competition at Skydive Chicago. The Knights finished the 10-round competition with 199 points and a national championship, besting the reigning national champs Arizona Airspeed by 8 points. You can read more at armygk.com. As NASA prepares to transition low Earth orbit launches to the private sector, the agency has announced the awarding of contracts to 4 commercial vendors for as many as 70 missions, with a total value of up to $15 billion over 10 years. The companies include Lockheed Martin Space Systems, Orbital Sciences Corporation of Dulles, Virginia, SpaceX, and United Launch Services of Littleton, Colorado. The contracts provide for a minimum capability of delivering agency payloads weighing 550 pounds or more to a 124-mile-high or higher circular orbit with a launch inclination of 28.5 degrees. The provider also may offer vehicles to NASA to meet higher payload weight and orbit requirements. There's also an annual opportunity for additional providers and incumbents to submit proposals introducing launch services not available at this time. NASA's Launch Services Program Office at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida will be responsible for program management. And finally, to say this auction includes many one-of-a-kind items would be a wild understatement. The Astronaut Scholarship Foundation's 2010 Fall Astronaut Experiences and Memorabilia Semi-Annual Auction is underway now through Saturday. You'll need to register for a virtual paddle number online prior to bidding. Winning bids, over fair market value, should be considered a charitable donation. Among the items up for bid this time, a vintage 1969 Life magazine signed by Apollo astronaut Alan Bean, a NASA training flight suit worn by Space Shuttle astronaut David Leistma, and an American flag that went to the moon. You can also bid on the chance to go scuba diving with Mercury astronaut Scott Carpenter to an underwater hotel. view a space shuttle launch with shuttle astronaut Edgar Mitchell, and attend the 2011 U.S. Astronaut Hall of Fame induction as Apollo astronaut Walt Cunningham's personal guest. Auction proceeds support the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide scholarships to college students who exhibit motivation, imagination, and exceptional performance in science, technology, engineering, and math. To date, more than 80 astronauts have contributed, and ASF has disbursed more than $3 million to students nationwide. Find a link to more information at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated September 19th, at aero-news.net. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the start of what I think you'll find to be an interesting two-part conversation with retired Air Force Colonel Richard Graham. Rich logged 756 hours in the SR-71 Blackbird and has written two books about the plane. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.